By the way, be dismissed if you're going to be going down. Our guest speaker today is one that most of you probably know. He was pastor here for over three decades. For some of you, he dedicated you as an infant. For some of you, he baptized you. Maybe he officiated your wedding. For many of you, he dedicated children or even grandchildren, led them to the Lord. He's counseled you. He's provide his wisdom. Of course, most importantly, he has faithfully pastored, shepherded, and brought the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to you week after week, consistently. And so while God is the one who causes the growth, we have a great privilege to have pastors like our next guest that's going to be preaching that have planted and watered all of those years. And so he is my friend. He has been a mentor in my life, and he's also our current pastor emeritus. Would you honor and welcome Pastor Bo Matthews? Let me say a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your faithful shepherds that you've given this church over the last 50 years. We thank you for Pastor Bo Matthews and his faithfulness. We pray now as he preaches, he speaks of what you have put on his heart, that you give him that unction, that power to speak as he ought to. Lord, that you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, that not only as we look back at the history, but what it is that you have for us today. And so, Lord, speak through your servant now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your for your kind reception. I stand here only by the tender mercies of our Lord. And one of the ways he expressed those tender mercies has been in this congregation and your love for my wife Carol and me and our children for so many years, and he did it through giving us a pastor who's got a heart big enough to let a former pastor come here and be a part of this congregation. Thank you, Pastor Nate. Really appreciate that. When Pastor Nate talked to me in September about, did I want to do this, I was like a man dreaming. But you're no dream. You're here. Here we are. In the name of the Father who chose us, and of the Son who redeemed us, and of the Spirit who sealed the church to be the spiritual home for the nations of the earth. The church is the biggest people movement in the world. Without coercion, and despite all obstacles, it spreads across the earth because of him who by the power at work within us is able to do abundantly above everything that we ask or think. He displays his power in large congregations of megacities and in small congregations of the Amazon rainforest. He expresses his power in this congregation. We gather today to praise him who has been the source of our strength and the strength of our life these past 50 years. Do you ever wonder what life would have been like if we had avoided some disaster? For example, suppose a nor'easter had closed all the airports from Washington to Boston on September 11th. At Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, we know what life has been like because we avoided disaster here. And it is right and good for us to remember how God saved us from our sins and give him praise. This church was born 50 years ago in great pain. The birth mother was Emmanuel Baptist Church on Pennsylvania Avenue at Greenhill Avenue. Several hundred people left that congregation over theological and church matters. Many of them formed this church and called it Baptist Fellowship Church. The new congregation rented space at Friends School in Alapocas Woods, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Two missionaries, home from overseas, each pastored the church for about a year. And then Brandywine called its first pastor, Dan Myers, who served from September of 1971 to October of 1974. When Pastor Dan left here to serve in another congregation, the board immediately appointed a search committee to find his successor. They found one immediately. He was outstanding. They listened to his sermons, they interviewed him, they talked about him, they were ready to present him to the board of deacons. But the five members who made up that search committee had agreed they would not do that until they were unanimous. They voted, and the one woman on that search committee, Alice Cochran, voted no. Alice was gentle, soft-spoken, and she did not change her mind. That candidate never came. The shine of being a new church had already worn off. Setting up and taking down at Friends School was getting really old, and the failure to present a new candidate to the Board of Deacons precipitated something of a crisis. At a board meeting in late 1974, the motion was made to disband this church, sell this property, and give the proceeds to missionaries. Everything that has happened since that night waited without a voice to see what the Board of Deacons would do. They tabled the motion. They agreed to pray for the next month and then at the next board meeting make a decision. The unexpected happened. They came back together and decided that the church's problem was a lingering animosity in this congregation toward people in the congregation at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And the solution was not disbanding this church, it was being reconciled to Emmanuel Baptist Church. So the Board of Deacons decided to have a meeting with their Board of Deacons, a humble and humbling decision. In a decision equally humble and humbling, the Board of Deacons at Emmanuel agreed to meet. The meeting went well. The boards reconciled and came to the conclusion that the two congregations should come together to see if they could be reconciled with each other. That meeting took place in January of 1975. And by all accounts, it was painfully frank. My wife Carol and I were not here at the time. We could only judge the results of that meeting by what we found. And what we found, starting in May of 1975, was that nobody in this congregation and nobody we heard at Emmanuel ever spoke discouragingly, critically, fault-findingly about each other. They acknowledged the heartache, and there was plenty of that to go around. But what they said was, we have been reconciled. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us apart. He will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. So let us look for him. On the second day, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us so that we live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge the Lord. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. When those rains fell on the now soft soil of this congregation, Brandywine Valley Baptist Church thrived for the next 15 years. There was an important transition time in 1984-85. Two of our staff members left Brandywine to take ministries elsewhere. We called a new staff member, and then in late 1985, my wife Carol and I accepted a call for me to be the senior pastor at Henson Memorial Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Brandywine never missed a beat. Within a year, they had called a new youth pastor, a new senior pastor, and not long after, a singles pastor. Brandywine did well. In October of 1990, Pastor Harry Kilbride, the senior minister here, retired to become the senior pastor at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. The Board of Deacons set in motion a 10-month process to find Pastor Kilbride's successor. Not without controversy, not without some hard feelings in the board and in the congregation, the committee asked me if I would consider being a candidate. I agreed. I came back here as senior pastor on August 1st, 1991. But I was not exactly the same guy who left. And Brandywine was not exactly the same church I left. And Wilmington, Delaware was definitely not the same. The downsizing and outsourcing that today marks American business was beginning to make itself felt all around Wilmington. And I saw many a 50-year-old man who thought he was going to spend the rest of his career in the business where he started instead be given a golden parachute and become a contractor. Unemployment and broken dreams were something new in the powerful culture created by the DuPont Company. Within this congregation, almost from the beginning, we had conflicts. Board, theology, staff, personal. We did not resolve the conflicts. And it came to a head at a tremendously difficult board meeting in December of 1993. And by the end of that year, 80 or so people had left this congregation to worship somewhere else. And down the rabbit hole we went once again. The congregation licked its wounds all through 1994. But the congregation stuck together. None of us expected on January 1st, 1995, that it would be a year of divine visitation. But it was. At a late winter board meeting, our children's director, Jane Gerlach, made a recommendation to the Board of Deacons that they should organize a trip for men to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day weekend to a Promise Keepers Stadium event. They did it. 130 guys went. We knew something had changed when we got on the bus to come back Saturday night. We had a new heart. There was a unity we had not experienced in years. Guys were learning how to take care of each other. Old feuds somehow went away. And before long, we began restoring friendships with those who left, a number of whom came back to Brandywine Valley. It was good. And this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the good way and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. On that Memorial Day weekend, in spite of ourselves, we found the good way and walked in it and found rest for our souls. And for the next 15 years, Brandywine Valley thrived. So much so that we built this sanctuary. We spent more than 2 years in preparing to build, in fundraising. We broke ground in May of 2008. Contractors demolished almost all of the original buildings. And then they dug down, if you can imagine a space on the ground here, the size of this sanctuary, another 16 inches in order to accommodate the structural requirements of the architect's drawing. We had a massive hole in the ground between the east wing and the west wing just in time for the Great Recession of 2008. We worshiped in this space for the first time on November 1st, 2009. It was a joyful occasion. We had many joyful occasions here. But the next 3 years were financially dangerous, existentially dangerous. I'm not sure any of us know how difficult it was in 2010 for Lanny Weaver or Lynn Armstrong, Bill Parsons, who monitored our fragile finances, and Willie Ma, who was chairman of the Board of Deacons. But they did it. We moved on until the financial danger became so great that the Board of Deacons made one of those decisions which boards very seldom want to make. They terminated the services of two members of our pastoral staff and one full-time administrative assistant. The board immediately established public forums in order to explain their decision to the congregation. And Brett Dorsch, who chaired the Board of Deacons at the time, and Craig Montgomery, who was vice chairman at the time, agreed to be the public face of the board in those meetings. Other deacons would be present to help if they could. And down the rabbit hole we went once again. Brett and Craig faced anger, understandable anger, and questions, insistent questions. They answered with courtesy and firmness. They heard some people speak in behalf of the decision. I'm sure the number of those people was not enough and it was not loud enough for them, but it was real. The meetings went on for several months. Some people disagreed so strongly they left Brandywine to worship somewhere else. Looking back, I am still astonished that so few people did leave. But what I did not hear was people disparaging the people who left, or who spoke in anger, or who asked all those insistent questions. They are brothers and sisters in Christ, and Jesus said we're supposed to love them. And I think we might possibly have come close to doing that. People often remark how smoothly the transition has gone from my retirement in April of 2015 and the call to Pastor Nate and Shannon Keeler and their sons to come join this church in September of 2015. The solidarity of the board around that difficult decision in January 2013. And the solidarity of this congregation made that transition possible. And here we are, thriving again. Don't you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. Even the young grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Such have been three manifestations in this congregation over the last 50 years of Him who is at work among us to will and to act according to His good pleasure. They belong to our legacy. So, here's what I want you to consider. Man cannot help loving. If you want to do something really hard to push yourself to the limits, if you want to learn how to be holy and blameless in love before God, there is no better place to do that than in the church. Man has to choose between the fire of self-love and the fire of the love of God. The fire of the love of God in this congregation, sitting here right now, smolders under ashes of the ordinary. The Spirit alone fans those embers into flame and reveals the church to be the bush that burns and is not burned up, the very presence of God on earth in our human flesh. And just think, we get to see that beautiful, infuriating, global thing up close and personal right here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. We are blessed. Yes. Yes. And being blessed, let's bless Him by asking for His presence in the years to come. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, You have brought Brandywine Valley Baptist Church through these past 50 years in safety to this new day. Thank You. Preserve us with Your mighty power that we may not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. As we come to this